Welcome to The Pursuit of Wellness, a show about the journey of wellness. My name is Kabir Uppal and I'll be your host throughout this journey. Being fit and becoming a healthy individual is an ongoing process, and I treat this as a journey for myself as well. A few years ago, I co-founded FitNut, a wellness platform where people could find exciting and informative content on fitness, nutrition, and healthy living. By chatting with experts and other enthusiasts in this space, I aim to learn a lot myself, and hopefully you guys will too. If you're listening to this, you're either thinking about or have started about your wellness journey. Or maybe you're just curious about how to get fitter, healthier, whether it's physically or mentally. Welcome. Come be a part of this community that we're trying to build. You can check out our Facebook group, The Pursuit of Wellness, where we interact with the guests that we've hosted and listeners and discuss their journeys. We also discuss each episode and share stories that can help you redefine your life and achieve your fitness goals. You can also find us on Twitter at TPOW Podcast. This is a Mancha Media production. Find out more on manchamedia.com. In this episode, we're chatting with Zoe Motgil, a co-founder at Studio 60, which is a Delhi-based fitness studio. She's a certified trainer and nutritionist and has also specialized in pre- and postnatal fitness and nutrition. Thanks for tuning in. Let's jump right in. So we've already given our listeners a little bit of an intro about you. Tell us a little bit about yourself in your own words.
Very sporty kid in school. Fitness was definitely not as important as skill was. From that, I kind of forgot about that, went into art and design, graphic design background, studied in London, moved back here, keen on sort of, you know, getting in shape, but probably not topmost priority at that point, more into the graphics. But slowly, I think joining a local group fitness studio, which was actually called Club XL at that time, kind of changed my perspective a little bit. Jumping forward, joined Fitness First, was getting more and more excited about exercise and group classes in specific. And I think eventually getting to the gym became a priority over all my graphic design clients. So slowly, that was becoming more interesting. Began to look things up about doing, you know, a certification in something called Les Mills, which was a current program that was offered at Fitness First. During that, I kind of met the original Club XL owner, which is where I actually started. And it was her daughter-in-law who was looking for a partner to do a business with. So jumping forward again, we got together and I was just like, I love group fitness. She was like, I love business. Her name's Dia, by the way, Dia Kaul. She's my partner. And we said, let's open Studio 60. Not a trainer. I was just somebody who was really enthusiastic about fitness. And one thing's led to another. And I think we began to pull in lots of good trainers with crazy ways of teaching. And I think slowly, I just thought that, you know what, forget the graphic design. This is what I want to do. And I think I just started certifying myself along the way. And at the same time, we, you know, our team at Studio 60 grew more and more. And now it's my full-time job.
Awesome. So you've been kind of collecting these certifications and also educating yourself while you started Studio 60.
Yeah. Like I said, I was not certified when I started. So that's why we had as many different trainers, different classes, different things that we were interested in. And I think one thing just grew into another along the way and, you know, did all sorts of things along the way from nutrition to lifestyle training to pre and postnatal training. You know, I think it just, it's like never ending. I think there's just too many things to keep learning and, you know, and then you can sort of apply it and see where you want to be with this fitness career, because I think there's a huge amount of directions you can go into and things that you need to learn. So I think it's important to kind of keep yourself learning. So that's currently what I'm up to.
So you're able to actually practice the things that you're simultaneously learning, you know, and you have the best playground to do that.
Yes. Playground is a really good word, by the way. I think Studio 60 has definitely developed into a place where not only me, but my trainers that we have there and the people that we work with, including many members who we've kind of bullied along the way, and they've ended up becoming trainers. So they did the certificates themselves as well. So yeah, we've become a crazy team of people who just like to experiment, learn new things, and unfortunately torture all the people that come to the studio, but we try it out first.
So going along with the bullying and the torture bit, what is it about training somebody and getting them into that kind of mental space where they start respecting the process a lot more? They start, you know, putting in the time and effort that is required. Is it, you know, the bullying and torture that does it? Or do you think there are multiple other things that kind of go into it? Tell us a little bit about, you know, your process of getting people motivated and staying on the path.
I think most people who come in the door definitely have this thing about, I want to lose weight. It's just everybody's reason to get there. But what we try and do at the studio is make it an experience that you don't necessarily forget or you don't want to end. So yes, there's torture. Yes, there's bullying. But I think it's more about making them have a really good time.
Yeah.
Where you feel good about yourself. You feel like you did something perhaps you didn't know you could do. Where you challenge yourself both in a mind-related way. So whether it's like we give you, you know, challenges that are a little bit to do with your coordination or things that you don't necessarily do in your daily life. It's not, we're very, as little possible to do with machines, more about your body. And we kind of try and encourage people to just get a sense of community. Like the moment they come in the door, right from the vibe, right from the trainers that you meet, right from the music that we play. You know, we try and create that feeling that you're part of something from day one. You know, like it's very, it's a small community. I try and make sure that I know all my members by first name, which is across nearly 250, 300 members, you know, who are regular and permanent. So that sense of community and that sense where you're going to learn something new or you're going to come out having done something you didn't know, I think is what we try and focus on in able to retain our clients, but also make them want to come back because we don't try and lock you into a long-term membership.
Yeah.
You want to be here? You buy that many hours. That's what we call Studio 60. Very simple. 60 minutes. You want to be there multiple times a week, once a week, 10 times a week, twice a day. That's up to you. You buy it accordingly and then you use it accordingly because you want to.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of thing where we try and create this sense of community, the sense of challenge. And essentially when we started, it was called Your Silver Lining, which was what we wanted it to be. So somewhere that you just wanted to come and let yourself do something different.
Yeah. And I think you guys have been very successful in creating that community. You know, from the members I know that work out with you, they hold you and your trainers and just the space in a very high regard. There's a warm place and they feel very connected to the environment you guys have created. And I think that's very important, as you said, for all the bullying and torture to be worth it at the end,
yeah.
Right? They see results and
it's torture with smiles, though, yeah. Which is important, I think. So,
awesome, yep. Awesome. So, what does a normal day look like for you? While we were chatting about kind of scheduling this, you know, you were quite busy with your sessions, and you know, I know from your Instagram also that you pretty much train all day yourself, and you're also training yeah. other people all
it
day.
It seems to look like that, apparently, but no. So, I think you know, you do have. I'm definitely a person of a creature of habit. I have a routine. I teach one-on-ones, I teach classes, and I also make it a rule to work out or experiment or play with or do something at least for 2 hours a day. I give that my me time. I think it's important. So a regular day starts at about, I'm one of those freaks who likes to, I can't just throw myself out of the bed and just land up in front of a client. I need like an hour and a half to just, you know, chill and eat peanut butter toast. That's just priority number one in the morning. So those kind of things, I do that early. I start at about 5. My first session's at about 7, do multiple sessions. I work out at 11 a.m. every day. That's kind of why my Instagram is always around 2 or 3. And everyone's like, that's a terrible time to put up your Instagram. I'm like, well, you know, that's just the schedule, what I do. And then evening have classes again. And that's just how the day goes. But it's always a good day. It's when you do something you love, I think it goes pretty fast, unfortunately. Yeah.
And so how many hours or how many people on average do you think you're training between the personal training sessions as well as the group sessions that you do?
In a day, I think I definitely interact with at least 25 to 30 people a day, depending on the classes that they are and, you know, the capacity that we have and some one-on-one and some smaller group and some bigger.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely 25 to 30. And that's just in a class. You know, you kind of have a chit chat with at least many other people who come to the gym. I like to kind of know what they're doing, what they're not doing. If they haven't come, they unfortunately get a message from me. Or if they see me somewhere where they shouldn't be, which is outside the gym, and they'll be like, I haven't seen you in a while. I'll be like, I know. So yeah, so far I'm able to do that.
So you're able to keep that healthy balance between kind of training them and also being able to have that connection.
Yeah, because like I said, you got to keep wanting to come back.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's part of the community.
I believe I'm building a little bit of a group where people are kind of hiding from me, which is beginning to like kick in here and there. But I'm hoping it's a good thing. It's kind of it's a reminder,
you know, absolutely.
Of what they should be doing, and they should be keeping exercise as a priority in your day.
Yeah, and I think it's different things that work for different people, right?
Yep.
Fear. Some are motivated by results. It's again, it's different. So, you know, kind of building on the PT and group bit, I wanted to get your opinion on, you know, what you think from an impact and from a result perspective is the difference between somebody taking up a personal training session or somebody kind of jumping into group training?
Essentially, it comes down to the type of person that you are. If you're unsure about, you know, whether you are somebody who's driven by a little bit of pressure from other people, or you prefer to just have one person hammering at you, does come a little bit down to you. So it's a good mix, I think, to see where you stand, see other people doing it, and then work on perhaps, you know, some of your weaknesses or things that need improvement when you do one-on-one. But I think it's a good, healthy balance to have a bit of both, because then it doesn't get boring. It doesn't get repetitive. And like, I think everybody's got something new to teach.
Yeah.
And there's always something new to learn. So I think the more you can mix it up, try new things on a regular basis, yet still have that one-on-one person who's, you know, responsible for seeing that, you know, you're eating well, sleeping well, you know, your joints are working as they should. So that's where the one-on-one really, you know, pays attention to those sort of things. So I think it's a good mix of both.
Yeah,
I would say.
And I mean, there is a lot of science out there that talks about kind of surprising your muscles and you know, kind of shocking them in terms of not doing the same thing over and over again, right?
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's usually your mind that gives up. It's not your body.
Yeah.
Your mind can actually push you a lot more than we actually think. And having someone to do it for us is kind of a lot of the reason why people do work out outside of their house a lot of the time. Yeah. Some people are not self-starters and they're not self-motivators. I have many people who come in like, today I just want to do this. And I'm just like, then do it at home.
Yeah.
You know, there's a way to do things. There's a reason you're coming. And some people appreciate that. They want to be pushed. So that's why I think a good mix is definitely the answer for that.
So if, you know, keeping the healthy mix in mind, eventually when people are kind of deciding, and there's so many different types of group training varieties of classes that people can do, how should one, you know, kind of go about picking one? You know, what is the best way to kind of figuring out, you know, this is what I should start with, this is what I should, you know, kind of change up my routine with?
At Studio 60, for what we definitely pay attention to is that each class, even though I've made it a point now to sort of highlight things which are beginner, things which are medium, sort of somebody who's a bit of a regular and someone who's a little advanced, I've tried to make that situation something that's easily understood so that you can pick and choose, because I think people are different levels. But if you're starting out, I think obviously go with the ones that are beginner based. But at the same time, you have to think of something that is going to interest you, because you're not going to come back otherwise.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just because CrossFit works for somebody, it definitely won't work for you if you're the beginner.
Yeah.
Right? You want to start with someone that's not going to scare the shit out of you, and it's not going to, you know, make you not come back or put you with an injury.
Yeah.
So I think maybe something to do with a skill is a good way to start, but also keeping in mind that a little bit of weight training, a little bit of cardio, a little bit of all kinds of training is definitely how you want to merge yourself into it. Something you find interesting. It could be dance, it could be kickboxing, it could be whatever, you know, something that gets you moving, especially if you're not a mover.
Yeah.
I think that's important, because you're going to make time for it.
So would you also recommend somebody to maybe go and audit a class in a way, just to, you know, kind of see what the class is about, watch it happen once or twice, and then decide if they should do that, or you think they should jump straight in?
I think, at least at the studio, group fitness was, you know, the key. So I think unless you can really begin to feel like you're part of what some people are doing, and the chances of you seeing somebody being in the same boat as you is really high.
Yeah.
So I feel at least not seeing the place, fine, check it out. But, you know, sitting and just watching a class is kind of a bit random. I feel like me, for one, as a trainer, wouldn't allow you. I would pull you in either way, you know. So, you know, do something. Try it out. I think that's the way. See where you're at. Yeah. I mean, how are you going to know?
Jump right in.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. So this is a topic that I was really excited to kind of talk to you about. You have a lot of knowledge and experience in pre and postnatal training and nutrition. So tell us a little bit about how you got into that and, you know, some things that people should consider and how it kind of plays into the journey.
I've battled with this. I think I say that because I think I got into fitness quite late in my life, and everyone was like, oh, you know, so aren't you, I mean, you've been married for so long now. Aren't you going to have children? You know, so this topic was always on my mind, and I was like, okay, you know, I need to know a little bit more about fitness, because, you know, abroad, it doesn't matter. They still do it. They work out. Here, people around me were, you know, becoming pregnant, and they were like, oh, you know, that's it, bed rest, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. So I was like, you know, so that, I think definitely, because it's on the horizon for me as well, and I think I wanted to just know a bit more about it before I could sort of encourage people to do it. And I think when we started the studio, we were perhaps not as confident about it, and we had a few people approach us, but we were like, you know, perhaps we should just know a bit more. And then once I did the certification, it's just it was quite amazing, because for them, their whole take on this was, if fitness is something you were not doing prior to workout, then the best time to start is when you're pregnant. And the reason for that is because your body and your mind is open to change.
Yeah.
Everything is but in a mode of change. And to learn how to use your body at a time where it's ever-changing in weight, in size, balance, if you don't know how to use it while you're pregnant, then moving forward, when you have to carry this load for the first year, i.e. a moving load, this child is not going to be a single size and shape. It's going to change
constantly
every day.
Change, yeah.
And to know how to use your body, it's kind of like a preparation, right? So you're taking them through the steps, obviously at a totally different level, but you're still, you know, teaching them how to use their body. And I found that really cool as an idea. I mean, they even used like phrases as train them like football athletes, because they're going to be bending, picking, pushing, lifting an ever-changing load,
yeah,
which is not going to be sitting still. Right now, you hold a dumbbell, it doesn't move by itself, right? But this child will be reaching, pulling, crying, pushing at the same time. I mean, you've seen it when, yeah, you walk around. You see how people interact with their kids and you're just like, whoa. So, and at the same time, they might have to close the door. They might have to pick up a bag from the ground. You know, so it's a really interesting way if you think of it functionally. So I think that gave me a whole lot of confidence in this sort of like area. And it also made me feel how important it is. I mean, in India, people just, they sometimes literally are bedrest because they're just told that, you know, that's the safest way to be. But your life isn't going to be like that. Yeah. You're going to have to learn how to move. And if you're doing it at a time where you most need to, I can only imagine how many more complications will come from lifting, pushing, pulling without a strong core, without a strong back.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So fitness, I think prenatal and postnatal, super important.
Yeah, that's very interesting that you would say that, you know, somebody who's not done it, a good time for them to start is when they're actually pregnant. And
it came to a shock to me as well. But that's how they said we should approach it during the entire certification, because your body is very much in a state of change. And if anything, you should be feeling everything as much as possible in a dynamic way. There's a lot of aqua aerobics, there's a lot of yoga, prenatal yoga. Yeah. But how often are you going to be totally still,
yeah,
with this child, right? When you're moving forward or in your life, it's only going to be more active as they become, you know, toddlers and things like that. I mean, there's a lot of movement, yeah, involved there, right? So you got to be agile with your body and trust, mm-hmm, yourself. It's difficult. So you have to look at it. It depends how you angle, how you can, you know, convey that concept. And it's definitely something that I really enjoy.
So, you know, the people that you have currently that are doing the pre and postnatal training with you, do you see a lot of apprehensions from their end? And, you know, how do you go about kind of, you know, telling them that, yes, it's okay to be doing this, and not even okay, it's actually very important to be doing this to get them kind of ready for what is going to come ahead. And, you know, how do they deal with a lot of, you know, the changes that they're kind of experiencing? Do you think that the training and the nutrition helps in that, you know, entire dynamic of, you know, going through so many changes, as you rightly said?
Well, I think most people, who, at least the ones that who have come to me, I haven't marketed this as a area that I'm putting forward just yet. But it is, it just so happened that enough people came through the door who were interested in it. And I think they obviously, like everybody else, came through the door for weight, right? Issues with gaining weight, things like that. So it is a bit of an education process to make them understand that a certain amount of weight gain is very natural, it's very normal, very expected. But nutrition, important. You're not eating for two, no matter who tells you that. You don't need to do that, but your calorie intake does need to go up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's something that, at least for me, I try to make them understand why I'm doing what I make them do. And a lot of the stuff revolves around balance, because like I was mentioning earlier, your body is off balance a lot, ever-changing weight, and a lot to do with posture. Because if anything, our lives, just right from our jobs to our phone to our social media, is all forward bending. Same with the baby, yeah, right? It's forward bending, heavier on the front. Even when the baby's born, you're holding it forward, everything. So I just try and educate them as the amount of pulling movements we can create, the amount of opening up your chest. So it's just a question of really creating that relationship with the client and making them understand why they're doing what and how it's going to help them. I think makes them more aware,
yeah,
in their day-to-day life, because as with everything else, what you do for that, you know, 1 hour with me in the gym is great, but how you spend the other 23 hours of your day is what will determine whether what you did in there is going to benefit or not. It doesn't mean you can go home, eat whatever the hell you want, and just lie down.
Yeah.
Right? Life isn't meant to be that. You're meant to be moving. So it's an education process, definitely.
Awesome. Thanks for that. This is a question that we put to all of our guests. And, you know, we've got different responses because of, you know, the background, and different responses because of the kind of space they're in. How have you, for yourself and for, you know, the people that you work with, maintained consistency throughout the journey of wellness? You know, there's a lot of ups and downs. There are injuries. There are moods. There is, as you rightly said, in the 23 hours of the day that you're not training or that you're not at the gym, there's a lot of other stuff happening, right? There's family, there's work, there's friendship, there's all sorts of stuff. And a lot of things kind of get in the way and bring people down or get them off this journey. What are some things that you would recommend to some of our listeners in terms of, you know, being able to stay on that journey and kind of maintain consistency?
definitely an area that I currently am battling with, whether it's to do with work, to do, yes, my work is workout, but you need a clear time and space to do it, at least if you want to do it in a way that you're going to actually benefit from it. Like sometimes it can be a mindless workout and sometimes it can be a mindful workout. It just depends. And it also depends on, I think the better way to put it is that you need to make a designated me time. It could be 30 minutes, it could be 15 minutes, and it could be 1 hour, it could be 2 hours. But I think the same way we eat and we sleep every day, that 30 minute of movement needs to be there. So if you missed it during the day, you're bad luck. Do it right before you go to bed.
Yeah.
If you get up like early, use that time. But I think we need to sort of build it into ourselves that it's relevant, it's important, and we benefit from it. And then I think that we will do it. But yeah, you will. Life is never all clear sailing. It doesn't work like that, you know. It doesn't. There will always be something that comes up. And I think one of the biggest things that I find in the wellness sort of situation right now is that people think they have to go away, right, for this like retreat or like a detox or, you know, I don't know, get healthy
when
they go away, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But again, that's temporary. That's like telling me the 1 hour that I work out for, that's enough. The rest of my day can be crap.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that, right? It's got to be a conscious effort that you put mindfully with every decision that you make. And I think holidays are great. But like people look at me like I'm actually battling with a mini injury at the moment. And like the physio is like, you know, I would tell you to go on holiday, but you know, you go on holiday and you work out and put up videos. So I'm just like, yeah, because it's just part of my, you know, it's part of what makes my day feel like I did, or I completed my day. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's something. And I think it's hard to get there. There are some days where I don't feel like doing it. And 95% of those days, I still do it.
Yeah.
But that's me. I think at least what works for me is that I just don't look at the whole thing. I'll be like, let's do the first 5 minutes. Let me get changed, right? Let me go down.
Yeah.
Let me get the skipping rope out. Or what if it's at home? Or these short, quick workouts, which are good, even if it's just a 15-minute focus on something that you're bad at or you're weak at. If you've got a lower back, which the whole world does, lower back issues, spend some time doing some Supermans. I guarantee you that will lead into something else.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, let me pull out a few push-ups.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it'll build up and then it'll become a mini workout. And I think we all have 15 minutes in our day.
As you rightly said, it has to become something that is routine. It has to become something that is habit. And for me personally also, there's, you know, those days that I don't want to do it. It's just being able to get into the gym. Once I'm there, as you rightly said, you know, even if I'm doing 5 or 10 of one particular exercise, I'm like, okay, I'm here. Might as well do more, you know, make the best of it. So I think, you know, the habit, the routine bit is very important. Talking a little bit more about, you know, your personal workout routine and nutrition, how do you kind of structure your workout? How do you kind of go about, you know, planning your workouts? I know you said that, you know, a lot of it is learning things that other trainers are doing so that you can implement it, or learning what you kind of learning on the side and implementing that. But how do you plan your weekly workout or monthly workout? And how do you kind of create goals for yourself and work towards them?
What I try and do is I try to constantly challenge myself, or I, you know, look at things and I'll be like, I would love to sort of be able to do that. And I think I kind of sort of structure some me playtime where it's just me and I fiddle around like in my room. I just, you know, play with like certain movements, which could then progress into other movements. And then it becomes like a mini workout. But apart from that, I definitely make sure I do the regular 3 to 4 days of strength training. You know, you have to do a good amount of strength training to be able to do a lot of the other calisthenic movements or body movements or whatever it is that you're trying to do. So strength, definitely getting in some kind of endurance or cardio into your week. I get it from spinning and kickboxing. So you have to figure out how to get that into your week as well. Because if your goals are other than just weight loss, which at least I've managed to divert my attention from that. It was maybe that a long time ago. Now it's, I like to keep it where it's at, but I still like to challenge myself. So me playtime, definitely important, but that's on top of the standard strength, endurance, cardio workout that I get in the week.
And, you know, what is your favorite workout out of all of the different things you kind of experiment with and do on a weekly basis?
As cardio, my favorite thing is jump rope. I could never skip when I started the studio 3 years ago. Like, if I could even find one of those videos, it would be terrible. Like, terrible. Like, those are like one step at a time skips.
Yeah.
Doing 100, 200 skips at that time sounded like crazy to me. Like, I was just like, how are you able to do that? You know, I would have like one or two members that would come and they would be like, 100, 200. I'm just looking. I was like, how are you doing that, yeah. right? Now, I can skip for 1 hour nonstop.
Wow.
Nonstop. Like 10,000 skips, I can sit there and I can do it. So what is it? It's practice, right? Yeah. It's just finding yourself like a little bit of a challenge. And even with my clients, I do the same thing. I'm like, let's do 10 today. Let's do 20. I give them homework. You don't come to my session. You don't do your homework. You don't get another session. Do the homework so that we can progress. We're not going to just keep doing the same thing, right? So it's not, it's a question about finding something that you enjoy. So I love jump rope. It was a challenge. I still do it now. I just add weird weights to my body and challenge yourself a bit more while you're doing it. But I think definitely a body weight and a combination of cardio is definitely my go-to workout, which you can do anywhere. Body weight is solid. Those push-ups for girls, oh my God, if you can churn those out, you are like, the stuff, like really, in my eyes, I think doing push-ups is amazing. It's a full body movement. So yeah, you can work out anywhere really. So I think body weight is definitely a good way to keep yourself going all the time.
Awesome. And what's your favorite cheat meal?
So bad. I feel, I don't even know if I should even say it, but like, I don't find eating a healthy version of the bad things like bad. Like, so if I eat a pizza and eat a ragi crust pizza and I put like, you know, from like healthy topping, I don't think that's a bad, that's not a cheat meal. For me, it's like something dirty, like unhealthy, you know, like, okay, so Filet-O-Fish, McDonald's, okay, dude, that burger, I can have like four on the spot. I'm just like that. Not, I don't even need the fries. It's just the burger. And there was a temporary time where that stuff wasn't even in the market over here. I was like depressed. I had my front desk guy call me up every day. Like, is it there? Is it there? And I remember one day he just called me like, ma'am, it's back in the market. I was like, that's it.
Nice.
So yeah, that's a really unhealthy meal. But, you know, you got to live, right?
I eat
chocolate and stuff every day. It's not that I don't. I still eat all that. But like I said, I think a little bit of dark chocolate doesn't, you know, it's not going to harm you.
Yeah.
You know, I eat all, like if I have a pizza, I have the healthier version. I don't think those are cheat meals.
Cheat
but
meals.
I think McDonald's, yeah.
Yeah, Filet-O-Fish. That's the good stuff. So, yeah.
It's really good, right?
Yeah.
Too
good. So just, you know, a little bit in terms of actionable takeaways for some of our listeners. You know, we'll get into the business bit of Studio 60 and your experience over the last 3 years and what you think, you know, where everything is going. But if you had to give three very important takeaways from a nutrition and fitness standpoint to our listeners, what do you think those three things would be that you should keep in mind all the time?
Practice makes perfect. Whatever your, whether it's workout related or habit related, you need to practice it in order for it to be effective. So I think whatever it might be, if it's meditation, if it's workout, or if it's healthy eating, it's not a temporary thing. It's something you got to keep doing.
Yeah.
So you need to incorporate that into your daily routine. You need to think about ways to challenge yourself. So don't do something you're always comfortable with. Add something a little bit more. Again, whether it's a type of food you might not have tried or you've heard about. Like sometimes I meet people and I'll be like, I'll tell them a healthier version of a peanut butter. And they're like, no, I'm not going to try that. It's horrible. I'm like, you got to learn. You got to learn a little bit. You like peanut butter? You can learn a different way to eat peanut butter. Challenge yourself, workout-wise, food-wise. I think the third one would be probably find a way to find enough people around you that thinks in a similar way.
Community.
Yeah. Find a space that you're a part of so that you see other people in a real life struggle or working in the same way as you. And I think if you see other people do it, you don't feel like you're alone. And I think you can make these changes on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be long lasting. And I think, a reason to go into the wellness for everybody is mostly weight related, right? I'm not saying I'm like the skinniest person ever, but you know, I do go every day. I'm like, oh my God, I weigh more today. I'm going to weigh. I do have that. It's natural, right? It's how we're, I don't know, our society is like this. But I think you need to find a way to make sure that you still do the things that you are going to make you feel better at the end. You're still going to feel strong, fresh, you know, feel like you got some energy. And I think that's what a healthy lifestyle will give you, which is something that nothing else can. I think that's really important, that feeling of like, you know, and people look at me and they're like, oh my God, you always look so fresh and energized. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know, but I think it's a combination of healthy eating regularly and workout regularly.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
So practice challenging yourself and making sure you have a good community around you. Yeah. Awesome. So just to chat a little bit about Studio 60, you know, you've been at it now 3 years, you said?
Yes, three and a half.
Awesome. Yep. And you've now moved to a new space. Tell us a little bit about, you know, how the studio has grown. What are some things that, you know, you struggled with? What are some things that, you know, you were able to kind of take action on that has worked out for you as an entrepreneur in the wellness space? And last part of the question, you know, where do you see this industry in general in India going? Where do you see the ecosystem as it is now, and where do you see it going?
Perhaps the answer for both those questions is kind of along the same lines.
Yeah.
And I think at least in India, at least in the last, it's kind of brief, 3.5 years is not a huge time to be in the industry. But I think what it's shown me is that there's definitely huge scope. I don't think there's enough of people still exercising and working out, or at least understanding the value it can bring to your life. So I think that scope is still there. And I think we're growing as a country, I think, with the fitness awareness, you know, sort of building. And I think that if anything, Studio 60 provides a place where you can continue to grow with like-minded people. And like I said, it's not a massive place. So it's quite boutique in that sense. So I think we've made it into a community of people where we kind of push each other. You know, I will be there tomorrow at 8 is a regular thing. People are there, they make time, it's in their routine. And I think that I've seen this in action myself over the last, because we've just had like a really difficult time over the last few months, right? From, you know, issues with MCD, issues with place, different rules, different regulations, and we've had to shift. And the biggest thing I think that I noticed was how people were like, what are we going to do without the workout tomorrow? And I think that is our job done, because that is what we wanted to do with the studio in the first place, create a community of crazies. Is what I call them. There's crazy 1 to 100. Like, they're just all crazy. They all just want to work out and find the time for it. And I think that is where Studio 60 is at. And I think we'll continue to be like that. I think right from the trainers that we've got there to the members, I think we're all one big community where we kind of have each other's back and we push each other in the right ways. And I'm hoping that everyone who does come and join it, who hasn't, or, you know, who's part of it, will, you know, fit right in really quickly. Because it's a growing community. And I think in India, it definitely is now. There's so many studios coming up everywhere. I think that everyone is on the right track. It's just a question of making sure that they understand that it's not a one-off thing. You know, you want to be in there and you want to do it on a regular basis. Just as you go and chill with your friends, you go out for a drink, you need to go for a workout, go out for a meal, you need to go out for a workout. It needs to be there in your, you know, in your routine. And I think that Studio 60 is looking good in that front. And I think that Delhi at least is coming up with so many studios. It's quite exciting. I mean, it's increasing the market, which is so great. I think when we opened up first in east of Kailash, we were the only gym on that road.
Yeah.
Now there are like 5 who opened and closed, mind you, on the same road. But still, I mean, it's growing. So it's exciting. It's an exciting future, I think.
Awesome. And what's on the horizon for Zoe and Studio 60 for the next foreseeable future?
Well, I think Studio 60, having just moved, I think is in a bigger space. We've got more exciting classes and more ways that we've been, you know, putting things together. If anything, I think we'll just create more and more mini communities of crazies within what we've got. Lots of members and now trainers, which is like the most exciting thing for me, because I think passion-driven people are what really matter. I think, those guys really do. They show you what they're made of. And I think if you practice what you preach, it's going to be good. Yeah. So I think that's what's going on with the studio. And with me personally, I think I'm putting together my website and my blog. And I also will be sort of training people online very soon. I put together an entire, working with the software, and I've got it kind of where I can train you, because I think I've got a lot of people who are quite interested in this. And, you know, with the kind of way that I train or work out and these sort of high intensity workouts and things that you can do at home that are easy, because, you know, let's face it, travel is not the best thing in this city.
No, commuting is not easy.
Getting from A to B is a nightmare. So I think ways of getting me, unfortunately, to torture you in your house is probably the next step.
Yeah.
Via, you know, your phone or TV. I think I would, mind you, I did something on Tata Sky, which they've dubbed in Hindi, which is hilarious, because when I did that,
everyone, need to check that out.
When I came back, they were like, oh my God, let's see you do a body pump in Hindi. I'm just like, bros, like, I never even did that. Okay. Like, you know, so I think definitely I'm excited about this training app that I'm working with, and it will be out very soon. So let's see, it should be fun.
Awesome. Well, good luck for that. And thank you so much for making the time to come and chat with us.
Thank you.
You know, why don't you give our listeners an idea of where they can find you, where they can follow your amazing journey, like a lot of us already do. And, you know, best place to get in touch for Studio 60 and your soon to launch personal workout routines.
Yes. So I, on Instagram, I'm just there as Zoe Modgill. So you can check out all the stuff. Mind you, I have a lot of people who unfollow me on a regular basis because they don't want to see all the crap that I'm doing. And they're like, you just make me, I just eat a burger, dude. And I'm watching this. I don't want to watch you. So I really hope that I can manage to inspire you instead. But yeah, I think it's just a reminder that what I'm doing is because, you know, if you love it and you think that it's definitely a vital part of your day, then you're going to do it. So I hope you guys do follow me and it inspires you a bit. And yeah, the training app, etc., will all be available on that. My website is also ready, although some loopholes still there, but also zoemodgill.in. So that's quite easy. And coming to the studio is a good place to at least get a taste of what we're all about there, whether it's not me, my other trainers. Unfortunately, we're like carbon copies of each other, where we're all quite evil, equally evil. So that's kind of fun. So I think coming and trying out a class, we're now at the Manor Hotel, which is in Friends Colony West. So that would be a good place to come and try things out. And then hopefully with the app, you'll still be able to get like a feel of what we're all about.
Awesome. Thanks. So all of that information will be in our show notes. And whenever Zoe's application is out, we will be posting information about that on our Facebook group and our Twitter handle. So stay tuned for that. And stay tuned for more episodes on the pursuit of wellness. And if you have any feedback or any comments and you like our content, please share all of that with us on our Facebook group and on Twitter. Thank you. Alright guys, that was this episode for The Pursuit of Wellness. I hope you enjoyed that. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Facebook as The Pursuit of Wellness, Twitter as TPOW Podcast, and check out our website at munchamedia.com. This has been a Muncha Media production. Thanks for listening, guys.